the very best in underground dance music.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, located on the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled. And if you look in your car or on your phone, iPod, or if you're here listening to this online, then you know that I mean that ironically, technology has yet to come that far. We'll see if it ever comes that far. But anyway, for today's show, I want to talk about something that I'm sure a lot of us have been on, something called YouTube. Very popular, very popular. And I have as well, like most people. And there's a lot of videos that are like, I'm saying something like top seven videos of cats, or top seven videos of America's Got Talent, or it's usually the top 10. Like, there's that mojo.com that does a lot of videos like that, like top 10 Whose Line Is It Anyway jokes, or things like that. It's always the top 10. Always the top 10. Or like the top 15 or top 20. It's always such a round number. Top 100 Billboard charts, or top 100 billionaires or millionaires or whatever it is. It's always like the top 10. But really, should it be the top 10? I mean, is there always enough people to make something the top 10? Why not the top? I feel like sometimes when people make like the top 7, the top 10, they just kind of put in other names just to like make it so that's 10. Where really, maybe it's just 7. Maybe. It's like statistics. Whenever you hear like statistics, they're very round numbers. Like the earth is 70%, the earth's surface is 70% made of water, or covered in water, 70%. How is it exactly 70%? You would think it would be like, I don't know, like 69.9 or 69.8%. No, no decimal point. So easy to say, just 70%. Just the top 10, not the top 7, or even the top 11. Why not? Maybe you're leaving someone out on purpose. Why does it have to be even? Why can't it be odd? Or why can't it be a number that's not so, you know, like it's always the top 10, top 20. Why does it have to be like that, in the 10 division areas, why does it always have to be that way? And another thing that has to do with numbers is like, many of you might have seen the NBA finals or just watch basketball in general. Have you noticed the numbers on the jerseys? I mean, they're so low in like there are so many players with the same number, like 23. That is such an overused number. When I first kind of started watching the NBA, I started like watching it with my brother. I always figured like, oh, 23 won't be. Maybe there'll be one guy with like the number 23. But there's a lot of them. I would always think like, oh, maybe they want to have the number 23 because they'll like give them inspiration to do better, because that was Michael Jordan's number. But I feel like that doesn't have much meaning anymore. Now I feel like, oh, everybody has 23. It's fine. Even though it was, I think a number to a player is important. It's important what your number is. You don't really want it to change. Of course, for players, it does. Sometimes it changes very frequently what their number is. But I feel like, you know, your number means something to you as a player. It kind of gives you your identity on the court. Or just, you know, just means something. It just means something to you. And yet there are so many numbers that are used by different players. Like, it always goes, like, the range for, like, the NBA players is, like, 0 to, like, 40, but not really 40. The highest number that I know in the NBA, I think, is 30, which is Stephen Curry. But, he's one of them. But I'm sure there's another 30 somewhere in there. Man, did he mess up with his number. When people think 30, they think Stephen Curry. Then, I'm sure there's numbers above 30, though. I'm pretty sure that they are. But why not, you know, expand, you know, use some of those other numbers. Go, like, 99, you know, go to the 70s. Who didn't like the 1970s? Or the 80s, or 90s, or the 60s, or the 50s, or even the 40s. Like, there's so many numbers you can use, and, you know, be unique out there. Have your own, really, your own number that no one else is going to have. Instead of reusing all of the numbers and be more unique out there. But that's another thing that I see, or there's a lot of I hear that a lot, where people always say, it's not rather people who say, oh, I want to be unique. I'm not very social, so I never hear it. But, you know, other people say, oh, people want to be unique. I don't know how many times I've heard that somewhere in a class or a conversation I'm in, or I hear on, like, walking down the street or something, like, people want to be unique. So they go out and do unique things. And I feel like those unique things are done mainly with mainstream items. So how unique is it? The mainstream is very popular, as opposed to things that aren't mainstream, like CITR, unfortunately. But CITR is cool. And, but yeah, people always say they want to be unique, and yet they shop at, like, H&M and Forever 21 to be unique. That's not how you do it. To be unique, you make your own stuff. You find things that are, like, underground, not the bad underground. But I think, I've always thought it was funny that people always said that they want to be unique, and yet they go out and buy things that many other people have also bought. And wear, like, Forever 21. Who knows how many of the same shirts have been sold and people wear it and think that they're unique. I don't think that's being unique at all. But I heard it all the time in high school. Always high school, and now people want to be unique, so they do it that way. There are other and better ways to be unique than that. That kind of fits into everything. Be unique. Don't go top 10. Go top 7. Go top 8. Go top 6. And be unique in the NBA. Don't pick between the numbers of 0 and 40. Go above it. Go above and beyond those numbers. Another thing I want to talk about is delivery. Specifically, delivery to the extreme. Delivery has gone extreme. It is doing the half pipe right now. It is too extreme delivery. I mean, only thing I've really had before, like, 2018 was, like, pizza. That was, like, or, like, takeout. Like, that was the only thing that was really delivered to me. It was just those kinds of things. But now there's Amazon, and now there's all these online ordering sites that you can use. And now you can even get your groceries delivered to your house. And there's companies where they make food for, like, a week, and you pay them for that food. And they, like, drop it off on one specific day in the week, and they give it to you at your door or whatever. And then you eat those meals throughout the week, and then the next week they come back, and it continues and continues. I see how that's convenient. I see it, like, you know, you don't have to cook yourself, you just warm up the food and you eat it and you're good, and you can make sure that you get all the nutrients and whatever you need. But at the same time, I think cooking is a good skill to have. Unfortunately, I don't have it. My mom's a cook, but she's still alive and she's well. There's still the opportunity that she can teach me how to cook. I can learn more things besides microwaving and using the oven and the stove to some extent. not very good. Like, I work with my mom at her restaurant. She's a cook, and I kind of work with her there. And one time she had me, like, help her in the kitchen because I didn't really have much to do. I wasn't really busy. And she, like, put, like, some sort of mix into, like, this frying pan kind of thing. She put it on the stove, and she gave me, like, a spatula to, like, move it around, and she had one, too. I was trying to copy her, and then hers was, like, the liquid was starting to form up together to become, like, scrambled eggs. But mine was just not doing anything. Like, I was really trying to copy her and what she was doing with it, but I just couldn't get it to become a solid. It just stayed liquid. Eventually, she just took it from me, which was probably the better thing to do. But anyway, back to delivery to the extreme. Like, I've only recently, like, tried using Amazon. Like, I decided to order, like, my dad and my brother's birthdays are coming up this week. And I didn't really have time to go out and buy, or rather, I didn't want to go out to get him gifts because I felt like I wouldn't find anything, and I've always found it a hassle to shop. I've never liked the shopping experience, no matter how much other people say that they like it. I mean, I remember one time I was it was around like Christmas time, and my mom and my brother wanted to go shopping, so I went with them, but I didn't really want to go. It's more like an outie, like, oh, I'll walk around, get some fresh air, that kind of thing. I didn't care about the whole consumer culture going on. So I brought a book with me. I was reading a book called Boo by Neil Smith at the time, and I was just kind of, I just stayed behind them, and I used them to navigate and not bump into anybody as I walked through the mall with them. And at one point, we were in a store, and I just kind of, like, stayed by, like, the entrance, just reading it. And a woman walked by, and she said something like, "That book must be really good," or something like that, kind of implying that, like, that book must be so good that you're not interacting or being part of this consumer culture, that you're not interested in things that you're buying around you. And as a side kind of comment, there's this other girl, when we were walking out of that, I think the same store, maybe a different store, we were walking out, a girl at the entrance who was like, you know, she was kind of waving you in and whatnot. She's like, "Oh, that's a good read," or I've read that too. And I said, "Really?" She said, I think she said, "Yeah," or, you know, "Yes," or "Yup," or, you know, a synonym. One of those things. But anyway, I don't like the shopping experience. But I still like interacting with people. Like, when you're on the phone, you want to talk to a person instead of a machine. It's that kind of a thing. And I don't really like ordering things online, even though it's so convenient and it shows up, like, so quickly, which is really surprising. I don't know. I just don't like things to be delivered to me so easily. I guess it's kind of hard to explain. But I think groceries, like, is it that hard to go grocery shopping? Like, just go to your local grocery store and pick them out, you know, like, when I was a kid, I always thought of it like it's a little outing and like a way to get out of the house. Now everybody wants to just stay in, and the time you open the door is when something's being delivered, and that's about it. And now I'm gonna play some music, give you all a break from me. The first song is from an album called Lucky Hand, and it's by Steve Dawson.
Thank you. eyes. The last Sunday of every month from 11 to 5. I want you here with me.
The BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PREP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PREP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and we just heard songs from Steve Dawson's album, Lucky Hand, track one, and a song from Esmeran and her album, Mechanics of Dominion, song The Space in Between, both instrumental songs, which was done on purpose, because I believe that instrumental music is highly unappreciated and underrepresented, and so on this show I like to represent it, because I feel like we all kind of forget the importance of instrumental music. If you've ever heard a commercial, I know that now we don't value commercials like we used to. We didn't enjoy watching the new ridiculous Skittles commercial. Now we like to avoid them as much as possible. But you still see them on YouTube, you still see them Facebook, you still see them going to Amazon, and then go to Facebook and you see those same things that you were looking up on Amazon. They're everywhere. And I appreciate commercials to some extent. The propaganda, they're trying to get things in my head, they're trying to get me to buy what they're selling. But I will tell you, I've never bought something off a commercial. It's never been, okay, an infomercial, yes, but not a commercial. It's not been 100% successful. I mean, well, okay, let me think this through with you all. I've bought Skittles before, not because of the ad, though, just because I would just buy them as a kid. I don't know, they just tasted good to me. That's the reason that I bought them from time to time. I don't really think it's the commercial, but that's how they try to get in your head. Anyway, I appreciate commercials to some extent, but also if you play video games like I do, sometimes on an obsessive level like I do, then you'll also appreciate instrumental music, because imagine playing Mario without that iconic music in the background, or Donkey Kong, or Portal 2, or Portal 1, or Call of Duty without, like, all the gunshot noises that's in it. Like, imagine, like, playing a game and it's completely silent. Unless it's, like, one of those PC, trying to make you scary kind of video games. Then maybe you want it to be quiet. But either way, sound effects are, I consider them to be instrumental, because there's no voice included. But instrumental music is a big part of all of us, and I don't want it to be undermined. I want it to be represented and important. And back to delivery to the extreme. I think the problem that I have with delivery is that it takes away from our autonomy in some way. What I'm trying to say is that with all these delivery systems, we get out less and we're more kind of forced to, with all, like, all this availability to get things delivered, with that option, I feel like we're more likely to take it just because it's there. You know, you'll take it once, and then you'll say, oh, I won't do it again. I just want to see what it's like. And then you won't, and then it'll happen again and again, because it'll become a habit. Like, oh, just one more time. Oh, just one more time. Oh, just one more time. That's a lot. That's one way a lot of things happen. And that's probably, it's similar to how, like, at the grocery store, like, the self-checkout. Maybe you're scared to use it at first because you're not really sure how it works. But then you go there, say, oh, I want to try it. Just, you know, let's try out this new machine. Or like McDonald's, how they have, like, those, you know, order yourself. Or Subway with their new drink dispensers. I'll try it once, you know, just try out some new technology. It'll be fun. It'll be cool. And then you'll try it, and then you'll know how it works, and then you'll continue to use it. Maybe that'll be me with Amazon now that I've tried it. So I don't think so. I have resisted the temptations of Facebook. I think I can resist the temptations of Amazon. But I think what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, we should go out more. We should walk around more. We should do more. We should get exercise, even if it is just kind of walking down the street. We should be more social with each other besides on the internet and by texting. I like to phone people. If you know me, you know that I'd rather phone you than text you, very much so. If you'll text me, like, oh, how are you? Or, hey, how's it hanging? Which doesn't happen much. I barely get the text first. It's usually me who's going out there. Oh, to friends. Let's make that clear. But if you send me one of those texts, I'm likely to.